right, here we are back to it on BBS Radio Online. Good evening to you, or whatever time of day it is for you. Today it is May the 4th, 2020. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I am located in California. And I welcome all of you to this Monday evening gathering with Winfrey and Terry Brown, the Monday evening wild card. Let's see what's going to happen tonight during the show. We are 5 minutes early on the air, and as this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call, we await those people that will call in live. Phone. Every time you hear a ding, this is somebody calling in. And right after this 1 hour show, we go over to our daily whole planet healing. Is it a meditation, whatever you want to call it, visualization, where we get together on the phone line, a dedicated conference line where we initially gather, then we mute the phone line, and then either read an excerpt from the channeled material or he plays a recording, usually a few minutes. Whereafter, Wynn goes over the planetary issues that he, actually that we as a group, energetically support in our visualization, like the earthquakes, like the ring of fire, like the political situations, etc. I welcome the first person to call in over here. Good evening to you. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Welcome to you, John. How are you doing?
Well, hi.
All right. So I want to give the phone number for the whole planet healing call, which is 712-770-4340 with the access code 250-513#, and you can find this information, this phone number and access code also online, and you go to the website wholeplanethealing.com. John.
Yes, Hans.
I bought some, what is it, XRP yesterday.
That's good.
Is it a good one to get?
Yeah, because first place, it's going, according to one psychic, it's going to 1200. Another psychic, she doesn't have a price target on, but she said it's going to be like the fifth biggest percentage gainer.
XRP is only in the... Isn't
yeah,
the
yeah, Ripple. Yeah, yeah. XRP is Ripple, yeah. It looks like Congress, there's like 11 members of Congress who just asked Steve Mnuchin to use cryptocurrencies to, you know, for the bailout right now. So that'll help spread around. If it happens,
yeah.
You can pretty much guarantee it's going to be Ripple right now because that's a banker coin. So if that happens, anyone who does know cryptos is going to basically be screwed.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
It's happening. It's happening
all
already.
Right,
it looks.
Right.
It looks like it's going to happen very, very soon.
Yeah.
It's just he hasn't said anything yet, one way or another. So we'll see what happens.
All right. We have someone else join in. Good evening to you. Welcome to this conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heisen, everybody. It's Mary Adine in Cincinnati.
Welcome, Mary Arlene. Good evening to you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Is it five?
Jeannie, I didn't hear you come in. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And I see another person coming in through the back door, it looks like. Welcome to you. Please say name and location.
It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to you, Jane.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, everybody.
Are we the only three so far?
No, there are more. Mary Aline is here, and also John and BBS Radio.
Oh, okay. Hi, John. Hi, Mary Aline.
I thought it was your voice, son. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, BBS.
Yes, all those that are listening in online through BBS, thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening. Hi, everybody. Hi.
Anyone else? Feel free to say your name and location.
Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hi, Don.
Somebody else came in. I'd like to say your name and location.
Hi. Hi, Ice and everyone. Shirley from Ohio.
Okay.
And Don.
Welcome, Jerry. And I believe more people have joined in. Welcome to you all if you want to. Feel free to say name and location.
It's Carola in Central Alberta,
Hi,
Canada.
Carola, welcome.
Hi, Carola.
Carola.
Hi, Carola.
Hi, Carola.
Hi.
Anyone else, like Shirley?
Early announced when you were...
All right.
...doing whatever.
My daughter brought a... I have to take a taste from the barbecue.
Good. You have your priority.
Is it barbecue tofu?
No, it's just a regular American steak.
Yeah.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to see your name and location?
It's Wanda. Well,
if you want to.
It's Wanda. Welcome, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Wanda?
All I heard was...
Hi, Wanda.
All I heard was...
That's Chinese for Chinese. I mean Canadian for hello.
Could be. Could be, eh? Could be, eh?
Yeah, eh?
How's your steak?
Awesome. Very tender.
It's marinating.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. But of course, only if you want to, we welcome you.
I think it's beyond marinating. It's starting to be digested.
No, I,
Welcome back, Terry.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Welcome.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, did everyone know that today's Wynn's birthday?
Do now.
Ah.
Yeah, let's wish Wynn a happy birthday as soon as he comes on.
All right. Yes, yes. Thank you for mentioning, John.
Yes.
Whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
I know which one it is from the two. Sorry, Wynn. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
I had another call.
Hi.
I'd like to see your name.
Hi, my name's
Anne-Marie. Hi. Welcome to the call.
Anne-Marie. It's Anne-Marie Nestle, actually. Good evening.
I'm sorry. Your sound is a little bit muffled. I couldn't quite make it out, but welcome to the call.
Oh, I'm from... Hi, my name's Anne-Marie.
Your sound is not, the quality is not good. We can't hear you.
All right. And we had someone else join in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
But only if you want to.
All right.
Cat.
Welcome, cat.
Cat.
So when wind comes on, we say 1, 2, 3, and there we go, yeah?
Happy birthday, yeah. Little birthday boy. Now, you got it wrong, cat. It's happy birthday, not meow.
He doesn't have a very good vocabulary.
Got to play it in reverse.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. It's Prudy.
Welcome, Prudy.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Prudy.
Hi, Wanda.
My apologies for not replying to your text, Prudy.
Oh, that's okay. I forgot.
All right.
Yeah.
And I welcome all those that are listening online through BBS Radio. We can see you, we can hear you, but we are glad that you are participating.
And it's Art's birthday today.
Art?
No, sorry. It's Wynn's birthday today.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, we've already said that. As soon as he comes on, we're all going to say, hi, wish him a happy birthday to you.
Yep.
I think he's still opening up presents right now.
Hey, everybody.
Good.
Doug, we still have our conference line still live?
Yeah, the recording playing. All right. It seems that Wynn is on his way. And apparently he wants to celebrate his birthday by himself and play a recording. It's not going to happen. Oh, no, wait. Not him. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, it's Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome.
Oh, you can hear me this time.
Hi, Lauren.
I called in before. And,
I saw you.
And I was even yelling. Nobody was hearing me.
No. I thought you wanted to stay anonymous or something.
Hello, Lauren.
Yep, yell louder.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Jennifer from Greensburg. Hi,
welcome
everyone.
To you, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
And who's the next caller? Welcome.
Bernie.
1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God.
Speechless? Are you speechless?
He's overcome with emotion.
I'm always speechless.
Oh, okay.
Until I start talking. Well, thank you all. Thank you. And I'll tell you, that was a very good rendition. And
you'd be lying.
Did you guys rehearse?
Many times in the past.
Oh, my God. This time last year.
Yeah, that's right. We've done it twice.
God, I thought you'd forget after all that time. Uh-oh. There's the clock.
It's quarter after.
Now, Lauren is not here, is he?
He's here.
Yeah, he is. I am.
Well, how come you didn't answer your phone?
I was eating.
That's a legitimate reason.
I didn't think you ate.
Yeah, once in a while.
Okay, I got a question. How many of you would rather I did a conversation with Lauren, and how many of you would like to hear a replay of a session that's entitled "How to Have the Best Death Experience"?
Lauren.
Let's
go with Lauren.
Lauren. Yeah.
I'm not
really sure.
Now, Lauren, you better not be boring, or else we'll think we're having a death.
It'll be another death experience.
Can't wiggle out of that one.
Wait, maybe you could ask Lauren that.
Ask Lauren.
Gosh, I am a past master at it, aren't I? Never on this time around.
Oh, gosh.
Well, Lauren would love to talk. I already know that.
Cool.
I would? Okay.
I think so. Well, do you know why he loves to talk?
Because he knows stuff. He knows stuff, Wynn.
He knows that he's sharing stuff that's valuable to other people.
Yeah,
and truly.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, I don't think he's had many chances in his life to be as valuable as he really is to other people. Hmm. Am I right, Lauren?
It's been off and on.
I mean, cool. you've done it on a scientific level, okay? I'm sure. But, you know, it's like part of my role is to be the stooge that gets other people to be more of who they are. You know, like Terry. I mean, Terry could have gone through this whole life and been anonymous, okay? You know, she's so shy. And, I mean, she didn't know all the abilities she had. Am I right, Terry? Of course, she never heard.
Gradually developed them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like I really don't need the attention. I mean, if you give it to me, I can do something with it. And I have valuable things to share. But, I mean, none of us really need attention. But when we give of ourselves in a way that makes other people grow and change, if you're a wanderer, we're all wanderers, and many of you are wanderers. You're doing your true purpose at that point, okay? So it's inwardly fulfilling. And some people don't get it. They think, oh, Wynn gets all the attention. Or,
mm-mm. Mm-mm.
How come Wynn always calls on Lauren or Terry?
Because they're interesting.
And even Antonio is interesting.
Are you
there, Antonio?
He's blossoming. He's really amazing. Well,
he's not saying anything now. Where are you, Antonio?
He's not here.
He's not here. Oh well. He's probably sleeping. And it's okay to sleep. Do you know that? You all realize that when there's certain kinds of sleep where you really process stuff. Not every kind, but when you go into a certain deep sleep and you wake up and you feel brand new. How many of you know that experience?
Yeah.
I was not recording, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I interesting yet?
always interesting.
you sound like a year wiser.
I sound like what?
A year wiser.
A year wiser. All right. A year further away from forgiving my father.
A year closer to heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Wynn, is it your birthday today?
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi, Bonnie. You missed it. We sang happy birthday.
Okay. Yes, I did. I came in a little bit late. Happy birthday, Wynn.
Well,
I knew
it
was coming.
Are the drinks on the house tonight?
It would be if we were open.
Oh, gosh, yes, that's right. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, we've been closed for 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's all right.
Gosh, it's been that long.
Wow. We can sit outside and having a beer.
Yeah, it would be nice. It's beautiful out there today.
Oh,
it's been really windy and stormy here.
Mm.
Like 45, 50 miles an hour.
Wow. Hey, Bonnie, California is going to start opening up later this week.
Yes, we're going to start working on it slowly.
Well, on Thursday, the guidelines will be presented.
Yep, we got them all posted already.
All right.
The guidelines
White Dove's phone is not working, so she apologized for not being here.
Hi.
Okay. Someday I'm going to interview White Dove because I got a feeling there's a lot more to her than meets the eye.
I think so. Yeah.
Muted. The recording has started.
Okay, this is May 4th, 2020. And Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Everybody everywhere. And we're going to have an interesting conversation with Lauren Zanier. Now, Lauren, are you there? Are you unmuted? You are. I hear you. Okay, good.
Okay.
You know, if you don't, I'm just making sure you came in on the moderator code.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
And Hayes must have unmuted you. Good work, Hayes.
Thank you.
No, you are a moderator, Lauren.
I are?
Yes.
You are on the moderator code, yes. Then. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So, you know, I learn more and more about Lauren as we go. And some of the things I notice about him is he has an ultimate humility. He knows he's special, but in knowing he's special, he has the greatest gift of being special. And Lauren, you know what that is?
What's that?
You make other people feel special.
They are. That's why.
That's why, I know. But, you know, being special often makes people go on ego trips and feel superior to other people. But you have none of that. You have this inner quality that most people inherently trust. And then when you find you have a way to help somebody, you never turn down the opportunity. That's what I've noticed about you, some of the things. Now, that's aside from being brilliant in certain areas, and being able to look into the underside of the universe. You know, we were talking about form and formless on Sunday. I don't know if you were there. Were you there on Sunday?
No. Yeah. No. I slept through it, unfortunately.
Okay. Lauren, you're supposed to be listening to me. What's going on here? So, he has the ability to look under the physical world and see a lot of what goes on. And he doesn't see as deeply as the Elohim see, but when they talk, he immediately resonates and understands what they're saying because he's close to that realm. Closer than most of us. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's about right. I've had some very interesting experiences. We're on the same page. You know, Elohim and Ron.
And he likes to stay a little bit obscure because he has a side of himself that's very innocent. And similar to Terry in certain ways, where it's easy for someone in the past to trick him into doing things that are not necessarily for the highest good of everything, but he thinks he's being that, and then he finds out what he's done has been used in a negative way. Can we say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
True.
So if we talk to him, I mean, we are talking to him. When I stop talking, I'm just trying to set a stage. He knows so many things. He knows about water, but that's only like a microcosm of it all. He knows about atomic structures and molecular structures. And he knows about energy flows. And he has friends in other dimensions that have come to him and convinced him that they were real and that love him. He's very lovable. And it's easy to love Lauren because he's one of those people that when you put love towards him, the love comes back, and it makes people feel really good. It's a quality that we can all learn from, okay? And he knows how to use this quality in a way to be of service to other people, to help people feel loved. And when somebody feels loved, they start to heal themselves. They start to accept themselves. One of our worst obstacles is feeling that there's something wrong with us, and or like focusing in on the dark side of our nature. And sometimes it feels like we're cursed. And Lauren has the ability to take a person's focus off of that and have them look and feel the light side of their nature or the higher aspect of their nature, and then people start to heal these patterns. Now, I'm talking about him, so I have to make sure
he agrees with what I say. Now, he would never say stuff like this, okay? He would never say it because it would sound like he's self-aggrandizing. And I'm not aggrandizing him. I'm just saying what I see, and that it is such a blessing for our group to have him in it. And many of you know that. Many of you have had interchange with him and have felt the kind of blessing that I'm talking about. You know what, Lauren, before I let you talk, let's see if anyone will say something nice about you, okay? like it's a roast.
Unmuted.
Has anyone had an experience with Lauren? Lauren, if no one says anything, I'm going to do a replay.
No, it's like I'm going to say something.
Stop that.
Or they all need to replay.
What I want to say, Lauren, is that I greatly appreciate the attention and input you have given to Antonio. I think that this judges your kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Judges, I mean, proves your kindness.
Yeah, and wisdom.
So Lauren's coming nice on the Saturday calls. Shared a lot of information with us, which is
very generous.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
How far is the Earth off its 23.5 degree, what was normal axis?
What?
What, Raiden?
The axis of the planet has shifted, as many things are. It normally was at 23.5. I'm just curious, how far has it increased from?
It's not much. Not much as the crow flies, so to speak. What's really shifted, though, the geo axis precessed. It precesses, but it only precesses about typically about a half a degree or so in a few centuries. So that hasn't shifted much at all. You get a major event that occurs, it can shift a hell of a lot more than that. But what has shifted considerably is the magnetic axis, magnetic poles. That shifted considerably.
What about the crustal displacement theory? Do you think that the crust has shifted in the past?
When you have a major event that occurs, like when that asteroid or comet hit off the Yucatan Peninsula, that shifted a lot, a considerable amount, and the crust did, and it went in pretty deep, so that was a major a mass extinction event, and it was a major one, of several of them in the last. You hear about these events that happened millions of years ago and stuff like that. It's in much more recent times than you can imagine. You're measuring tens of thousands and tens of thousands of years, like the flood of Noah's Ark, Spain. That incident is a prime example. That happened only about 6,000 years, a little over 6,000 BC.
Huh.
And the a little over that, maybe 6007 BC.
And, now, how do you know that date?
I've had access to what's called, the going back to Egypt and the libraries of Alexandria. There was an event occurred. Conquerors will rewrite history, and. And that's a similar case here. The libraries of Alexandria they were distributed. You had the royal library, and it had two wings to it, and off the palace, and the one dealt with ancient stuff, very ancient stuff that went back, like. Hundreds of thousands of years. And metal scrolls and artifacts and such. That's what they say, the Library of Alexandria, they think it's only that, only one library, and it wasn't. It was nine. There were annexed libraries and such. But the principal library was right off the. There was a little causeway, and the principal library was there in the city of Alexandria. Alexandria was a free port, if you will. Okay, and it was independent from everything else, and people that would go there, if they could qualify, they had to meet these qualifications. And if they could meet those qualifications, then the qualification was being an independent thinker. Hmm. If you could prove, by your peers, and you come in, you're like, I like to come here, you had to demonstrate that you were actually an independent thinker in order to qualify to be a student.
Does everybody understand what the Alexandria Library was historically?
Yeah, it had records of Atlantis,
and all over the world. That was Alexander the Great had visited there and. In that area and was well accepted. So he, on his deathbed, so to speak, he started off the city of Alexandria, and then at his death he had Ptolemy, which was a general. Go back and form that library as a central place of education and arts. For new civilization on the planet, right? And so they brought all this stuff together, and since this is a port area, it was a central area. Going from the Silk Road states, mm-hmm. which started off like in China, India, going through the Middle East, ending up in at Rome, but continuing all the way over into Great Britain. And down through the northern part of Africa. But that was a little central hub there as a port town. So any ships going through, they'd be if they had any rudder, a rudder, for instance, which was a ship's log of the oceans, the seas and stuff, navigating and when to go where and when it's safe and how to avoid shoals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They collect those and make copies of them and give the copy back to the ship's captain if they had records of things, ancient records or other documents and stuff. They do the same thing there. And they sometimes they pay him for it. Sometimes they just do it. So they collected this, made this huge library, primarily of scrolls, papyrus scrolls, but also clay tablets, metal scrolls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and artifacts and such. In Egypt at that time was the grain capital of the world. So they were then became cultural renaissance. This was the second renaissance period on the planet. And the first renaissance period was also in Egypt. And that was around 4,000 BC. And at any rate, most of musical instruments, dances and stuff like et cetera, in terms of arts and such, performing arts and such, emanated right then and there about 4,000 BC. And King Den, or Pharaoh Den. He was the first pharaoh of Upper and Lower Egypt. It's an amazing, amazing story behind that. Going back to like 330 BC, when the town of Alexandria was formed as an independent state within a state of Egypt, they formed a number of libraries there on different subjects, different topics, and it happens that there was an incident that occurred where under Julius Caesar's reign, and Julius Caesar was attempting to form a partnership, if you will, between Egypt, which is the wealthiest country in the world, and in many ways wealthy, and one of the key things about the wealth was its knowledge, not just in recorded knowledge, but people that were, you know, when you talk about the fathers of, fathers of science, physics, fathers of chemistry, fathers of mathematics, fathers of the healing arts, et cetera. They were all people at that, in terms of Western, in more recent history. They were all students at that library. Think about that for a moment.
Lauren, you must have played a part there, yes?
In a way. At any rate,
You don't want to say what it was, right?
No.
Okay.
At any rate, under Julius Caesar's reign, there was an incident that happened on the dock, the transfer dock, because it wasn't the only library around. You had the Pergamum Library, You had the Mesopotamian and Sumerian libraries, okay? And they would exchange. They exchange stuff, and it would be on the shipping docks. Well, they had an accidental fire there at one point. And 2,700 copies of originals had got kind of, they were going to be shipped out to the other libraries, caught on fire or were damaged in, when damaged or destroyed. Okay, so Mark Antony was there with Cleopatra. Sent out messages to all the all these other libraries, and he brought back within about 2 month period, 2-3 month period, a tenfold other copies. So it's 2,700 copies plus indexes. It cost a fortune at that time. We're talking about like 600 talents, et cetera. You know, I mean, we're talking a decent amount of investiture here. And they just as a gesture to Cleopatra, the sixth, to make up for the damage. And now you go 300 years later, around 325 A.D. And you get Constantine, Emperor Constantine, who looted went in and looted that library, and brought that stuff over to Iznik, Turkey, about 6 miles south of where the Council of Nicaea formed, if anybody's familiar with that, in terms of biblical, and the when they were forming Christianity, etc., parked it underground there. It's still there. It's still there. Not in very good condition, but it's still there. And then dream up this thing and say, "Well, the library was burnt down." Completely burned down, put to the torch by Emperor by Julius Caesar. False. I found out about this back when in my teens through a next door neighbor who was a Jesuit. A very talented fellow, and I believe he's still living, who was a philologer. That means love of words. It's like an interpreter, an historian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The fellow was fluent in six languages, ancient languages. And at any rate, just before his final vows, he had this big nervous breakdown. He comes back home. The rest of the story is we started I helped him recover from this nervous breakdown, and in the process, he had me going all over the because he had a photographic memory, and he knew exactly where copies of these various documents were outside of the Vatican, and because he used to do translations underground for the Black Pope and the White Pope, and at any rate, so I got to go over a lot of this stuff. Amazing. Amazing discoveries, so that's how I found out about this,
you know, about the libraries of Alexandria. And what we know about history is far from the... History and historicity are two different things. Historicity, authentic history, and history are somewhat related. They're not necessarily the same. But it's amazing what occurred before. So what I'm saying here is that way back when, okay, the the flood of Noah's Ark fame. How did that happen? What actually happened? According to records, chronologies of that time, right, that were stored in different places. You know, we think of the everybody's thinking that you know that during that time, the world is very very small and it's flat Earth, right, and. Nothing could be further from the truth. They navigated all over the globe. And at any rate, the
they knew it was a globe, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
And they knew that the relationship between Earth and the planets. And cosmology, they knew that relationship. It wasn't like you hear about these ETs and stuff. Hey, you know, oh yeah, they had visitors. You know, at any rate, what happened in that particular incident about 6000 BC? Well, about 6007 BC. Which, by the way, has been verified by National Geographic. This incident, or the events that happened in the Middle East, you know, the carbon dating and et cetera, they pretty well nailed this down pretty damn close to what the records showed within a matter of a few months, you know. And what happens, the Tanzania Calder Massif, you know, volcano, big one, central eastern Africa, you know, Mount Kilimanjaro, it erupted. And it was known it was going to erupt. You know, it gave off all the signs and stuff. It erupted, but it generated a tidal wave on land, and that whole mountain range is et cetera, you know, actually just liquefied, turned to sand. But you had this tidal wave that went right up through the fault zone, and went right into the Mediterranean, and across it, Mount Vesuvius blows. Etna blows, the land bridge on the northern side there, it collapses and drains through. You get this huge flood taking place, the eruption, the smoke, the ash and smoke from the eruption. Starts traveling around the planet, and comes back around, wraps back around serpentine-like, comes back around over the Middle East and such. And you had this, and since the water vapor in the air around the planet. This was kind of like the Garden of Eden planet. And very temperate. Very temperate. And atmospheric moisture was around 72-74%. And all of a sudden it starts dumping because the cloud cover, you know, the of the ash and smoke dropped the temperature, and next thing you know, it started raining heavily all the way around that belt. Not the whole planet, that belt. And we had they had land that rose, other land that sunk down, and the thus the Noah's a flood of Noah's Ark fame. And but there was a tremendous loss of life, and at the time, because we had this little nuclear, you know, not nuclear, but you know, this winter effect, and the flooding in the critical zones, but then we had a mini ice age that occurred, and it recedes and such, and the rest is history as we know it. But this was according to several different places. These records weren't just one person's records. These were records from several different places around the globe in different languages that described this right down to the, nailed it down exactly. And the, I mean, right to the date. And the, and how long it it took and stuff. I mean, this has been some pretty one of the things in my life that was really out of the norm. And it's only what you know right now. Maybe a handful of people know about, including archaeologists, anthropologists, etc., who supposedly in the know. They just didn't see those documents because it's been suppressed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Historically, so the books from the Alexander Library were all destroyed. But you were saying that that's not true. The majority. Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying. Right. About 6 miles south of Iznik, Turkey, in the catacombs down there, you know, under lock and key and stuff. Nobody knows it's there except for the certain people in the Vatican. And there is approximately 300 scrolls and other documents, you know, like codexes. Codexes are basically bound books. Okay, and scrolls, papyrus scrolls and vellum, and metal scrolls, and in ancient languages, including Atlantean, between Australia and Indonesia and India, that land was Lemuria.
Lemuria, yeah.
Lauren, where was Atlantis?
Off the east coast of the United States,
like Bimini, there, that area, or whatever it is.
Yeah, all the way down into to the western part and just north and east of Cuba. There was a series of three intersecting islands, and there was a fourth one too. But
You know, off Cuba, in the water there, like, I don't know how deep it is, pretty deep, though, but they found, like, a pyramid and some ruins. Is that any connection to Atlantis,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guys, we got to adjourn this call.
This is fascinating.
Wow. It just barely started.
Well, we can do it again.
We got to continue this as a series.
Huh?
Make it a series.
It's the new Monday night call, the Lauren call.
But this is a wild card call. It's not a Lauren talks call.
But you know,
it's a wild Lauren call.
Lauren is building steam. You notice that? Every call is more present. And on this call, I wasn't even here. Except to get my
birthday
song.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Lauren.
Once I let Lauren...
Happy birthday to you.
All right. We already did that.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren.
You know,
thank you, Lauren.
One thing Lauren and the Elohim have in common, okay? When they're talking, they seem to make a lot of sense, but I can't remember anything afterwards.
He's just good phone stuff for me.
You'll remember this.
I will.
But
mm-hmm.
Thank you for all of you that are listening on BBS, if anyone's there. And we're going to go to Whole Planet Healing, 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513. And we'll see you in a moment.
This session is no longer being recorded.